Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Mr. Beacon podcast. This week, we're going to be focusing on a $9.5 trillion market. According to the World Health Organization, that's how big the healthcare market is. It represents about 11% of the global gross domestic product. And within that, the IoT market is $127 billion of spend in 2023, and it's due to more than double by 2028. So that's an amazing target to focus on. We're going to be talking to one of the best entrepreneurs I know in this space. His name's Jerry Pollitt. He is the CEO and founder of Blyot, based over in Europe, lives in Belgium, customers around the world. He's been on the podcast before, but I think you'll find the update really interesting. Blyot have got some new beacons and tags out. They've been growing their business, so we'll talk about some of the use cases that are really getting traction. So if you're a solution architect or you just want to see where IoT is moving, then I think there's something for everyone here. You'll hear about the business, you'll hear about the technology, you'll hear a bit of gossip, you'll get his advice on where to focus and where the growth is coming from. So enjoy the conversation.
The Mr. Beacon Ambient IoT podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, bringing intelligence to every single thing.
So Jerry, welcome back to the podcast.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise. I prefer it when we do it in person. You and I have enjoyed some really good meals together when I've been over in Belgium, where you're based at least some of the time. So I wanted to get you back on the show because you fairly recently announced a Bluetooth tag, which is very thin and quite low cost. And obviously, this podcast has meandered over the years, and it's about IoT, it's about Bluetooth beacons. But really, the thing that captures my imagination is ambient Internet of Things. I think, you know, you've definitely done some great pioneering work with, you know, going back to my day job in the past with Wiliot, and now you've got this new cool-looking bit of hardware. So I want to give you a chance to tell us about that and ask you about it. And, you know, you are one of the quintessential entrepreneurs in this space, and I want to pick your brains about this area that you've focused on, healthcare, what you're seeing the trends are, what are the use cases, just kind of get an update on your company, Blyot, which I think has been doing some really good work over the years. So maybe we should start off by allowing you to spend a moment or two just for people that haven't watched your last visit, which was back in 2022. It seems like an age ago, but tell people that don't know Blyot what Blyot is and what you do.
Sure. Happy to tell you. Maybe a bit background. It was 2019 and I was asked, it was more a consultative job for a hospital to help them find the right asset tracking technology. So we looked at several technologies going from RFID, Wi-Fi, ultra-wideband, Li-Fi, and also Bluetooth. We spoke with several manufacturers. And I went back to them with the conclusion. I said, you definitely have to go for Bluetooth. Because what we saw at that time is that more and more Wi-Fi access point manufacturers were integrating Bluetooth into their access point, which means that if you deploy such an infrastructure in, for instance, a hospital, you did not you did not need to buy any other infrastructure. So I said you definitely have to go for Bluetooth. And secondly, I'm very interested in building a startup around it, because we had at that time we looked at several solutions, but they are quite expensive and difficult to set up. Where we saw a clear trend to build everything immediately in the cloud. So the idea was simple: a Bluetooth tax on beds, for instance. These tags are being picked up by the existing Wi-Fi access points with built-in Bluetooth. Everything streamed to the internet, and from there, build web tools, but also REST APIs to integrate with other applications in order to make it easier for nurses, for instance, to find a certain equipment. So that's how Bluetooth started. We started developing in the summer of 2019. We went live with the very first version of the product in by the end of that year. And since that time, we have been, we are deployed in dozens of hospitals, no longer only in Belgium, but also in other countries. We have clients in Canada and Australia and Chile, not the other side, in Russia. Unfortunately, we're not allowed to sell there, but Northern Europe. So we are a bit everywhere now, with a clear focus on healthcare, because when you look at healthcare, the ROI is quite easy to explain. If you look at a typical hospital of 500 beds, on average, they have 10 moving assets per bed. So think about a pump, a bladder scanner, things like that, with an average value of 4,000 euros per asset. So the cost of the asset is quite high. So if you put a tag on it at the time of 10, 20 euros, was not a problem to do that. And so on one side, the assets are quite expensive, and on the other side, you could clearly show where the profits could be made by reducing search time, by reducing loss of equipment, increasing process flows, etc. So if you ask me, where did you came from and where is the industry heading to? In first instance, it was really, okay, where is this asset? Can you help me finding it? I see two clear directions right now. It's one of them is what we call big location data. We have some hospitals who deployed over 10,000 of these tags on equipment. So you are sitting on a lot of data. So you can help them, for instance, show how assets are being utilized. So if they want to replace them, do they need to buy as many as before, or can it be less? Very important also in the strategy when it comes to sustainability and recycling of stuff. So that's one very clear direction. The other direction we see is that it's no longer only about asset tracking, but also about sensing information. And the good thing is, mm-hmm. what you see happening right now is that you have more and more Bluetooth tags technology coming out with all kind of sensors built in, going over air quality. I just got recently one that this has a built-in radar, so you can even measure the heartbeat of a patient by just putting a tag on the ceiling above the bed. So it's going to be a tremendous evolution the coming years, I think, in healthcare, because of this technology, which is easy to implement and quite inexpensive.
I mean, you're not alone in targeting healthcare. I think it's the smart place to focus on, and as a result, lots of people are focusing on it. You know, over here, there's like Stanley Healthcare, and there's a ton of folks. How do you differentiate? Is it your regional focus, or what are the things that you focus on in order to compete in this very competitive space?
So standard, we'll now use one of my standard sales pitches slides. What I always say when we try to differentiate is the fact that our solution is quite easy to implement because we try to use the existing infrastructure. So we support mm-hmm. all major vendors out there like Aruba, Mist, Cisco, Juniper, Fortinet, name it. So that's one of the things we try to differentiate and make sure that guys, if you have the right infrastructure, please don't worry. We will try to reuse it as much as possible. The second thing is it's purely cloud-based. So you just connect your Wi-Fi network to our cloud and that's it. So very easy to fully cloud-based. The third component is what we call the big location data. So we work together with SAS Analytics on that. It's really to, what can we learn about all these movements of assets inside the hospital? The third advantage is that we offer a pay-as-you-grow model. So it's a very small hurdle to step in and start using the solution.
And who is typically the buyer when you're engaging with these hospitals?
Yeah, there are several personas, and it's a challenge because very often, and I will give you a few examples, if you sell a solution to one persona, you solve his problem, and that's okay, but not the problem of the rest of the organization, which means that maybe you will tag only the beds because he's responsible for the maintenance of the beds. You did not solve the problem of the nursing director who was looking to decrease the stress on the nursing staff. So in general, we are talking to, let's say, the guy responsible for the biomedical equipment, because he's responsible for doing the maintenance of all type of things, and we can, of course, help him decrease the search time. The second persona we try to talk to is the head of nursing staff. The third one is the logistics director. And the fourth one is the, let's say, the CFO, where you can show with their ROI studies what they can expect to realize in savings. The one persona we always try to avoid is the ICT director or the CIO, because often they're too busy and they don't really know the problem on the floor. So they say, either they say we don't need that, or we don't have time to implement it. Yeah, but what we see happening now is that because of this whole ESG strategy, ecology, sustainability, governance, mm-hmm. is that it's now really appealing what we're offering to the C-level, to the CEO, to show how these kind of technologies can help them reach their sustainability goals.
And how can you explain how that works? What's the link between ESG and what you're doing?
Well, there are several rules. If you look at the social part, it's just by decreasing the stress on employees by making sure they have less time to search. That's one of them.
Yeah.
Social. The one we are focusing on really is about circular economy. You have 100 pumps, but do you really need 100 pumps? So let's look how often they are being used. So if you need to replace them, maybe you only need 80 of them. So this kind of thing. Which then in return can decrease the CO2 footprint, etc. But it's still, to be very honest, very early phase as part of the pitch we are bringing. But we feel it's currently on every healthcare organization's agenda. And we don't bring the solution. We're only a little part of the solution.
What are your thoughts on the ambient IoT opportunities? Because what you've described to me is very sensible. It's the classic internet of expensive things. Hey, you've hospital, you've got hundreds of these expensive infusion pumps. Maybe you could have 25% less and have more efficient use of them, less trying to find them. But what about, the consumable things, the leg braces, the knee braces, the medicine, the packs of bandages? Is that a real opportunity, or am I just eating my own dog food, to use an American expression of believing my own kind of the things I want to believe rather than the real problems that are out there?
No, I think there are the biggest opportunities. The reason we focused initially on let's say, the more expensive equipment is because the cost of the tech was quite high.
Yeah.
at the time when we started deploying them, they were costing 10 euros a piece. Yeah. So if you put a tag of 10 euros on a bet of, let's say, 5,000 euros, nobody will bother about it. But if you put a tag of 10 euros on a medicine or a consumable of 50 euros, right, nobody is going to buy that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What you see clearly happening right now is that these costs are decreasing substantially. And I think, just take a look at what Willett is doing in that space. So it becomes much more attractive to start putting Bluetooth tags or stickers on all kind of equipment. So, yes.
Okay. Well, maybe this is a good segue to your own foray into these lower cost devices. I was really intrigued when I saw you had a new tag product. Is it like a printed battery tag, or can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, let me maybe talk a bit about our strategy. What we discovered fairly early on in the whole Bluetooth saga is that in order to deliver a solution, you have to bring an A to Z solution. You have to the whole ecosystem, which is not easy, especially if you're looking for venture capital, because most VCs, they don't like hardware. Eh? That's why they say hardware is hard. Yeah? The reason I'm saying that is that we started with one tech that we thought was would fits all sizes, all problems. But unfortunately, that was not the case. So I think over the last years, we probably developed or co-developed maybe 10 different types of tags, depending on the use case. I will show you three examples. I have one here. This is one. This was at the time the first heat-resistant tag in the world. It's capable of surviving up to 150 degrees. And you will ask me, why is that needed? Well, a lot of equipment in hospitals are being sterilized. See?
So this is 150 degrees centigrade?
Yeah.
Wow, that is
hot. You can really boil it, which is very cool. At a certain moment, hospitals were coming to us and they asked me, okay, but we have very small equipment like ear thermometers. We have a solution for that. So then we developed, and we are still proud of that, world's smallest stack, which is the size of a SIM card. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It has a limited battery lifetime. The funny thing is, the battery that's being used there is the same battery that's in an hearing device. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a very small tag. And now at a certain moment, yeah, they were coming to us. Can you help us with a tag for tracking tablets and laptops and also more expensive medical devices like stents, et cetera? And therefore, we developed these battery powered sticker.
Very nice.
And we are quite proud of it. So let me just open it. So it has flexible electronics there. So at the top you see, in fact, the whole Bluetooth ported antenna, and the rest is a paper battery. And it should last 3 to 5 years. We still have to test it. Yeah.
Amazing. And what sort of duty cycle? How often is it broadcasting if you're going to get to that 3 to 5 years?
So what I always say to clients is, what is the use case? And then try to find the ideal advertising frequency. Like for if you want to find a pump or something like that, you want to know where it is right now. So with the standard tax, we normally advertise every 5 to 10 seconds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is maybe also overkill. With the very tiny tag that I showed you, because of battery lifetime, we had to decrease the advertising frequency to every 3 minutes. Yeah. And this gives us a battery lifetime of about 3 years. With a sticker tag, there we are broadcasting every 1 minute, and it should last up to, we think, 3 to 5 years, minimum three, maybe five.
And what kind of ballpark price are you talking about for something for all of them, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't
sell tags, do you? You sell services. I should have paid attention the first time I interviewed you.
But the list price of a tag, let's say if you want to buy one, just one, and we don't talk about any volume discounts, etc.
Right,
like the sticker tag and the tiny tag, as we call it, it's around 7.5 euros.
Mm-hmm.
But we are now talking to clients where right, the price is very important, and we think we can bring it down to 1.5 euros.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is really to bring it down the coming years to less than a euro.
Yeah.
Because I think that's going to be the sweet spot if you really want to enter mass volume.
I agree. For a printed battery tag, then that really gets people's attention and will open up the use case.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, it's funny. I think sometimes people are a bit puzzled. They know that I have a day job. I work for Wiliot, and Wiliot is in the battery-free Bluetooth business. So why are you doing a podcast where you are helping people promote RFID and other Bluetooth tags and ultra-wideband? But, you know, I really, my belief is that we're all working on building a category, that it's really not about market share. It's about building momentum, I also feel very kind of confident in the niche that we're in. But you know, I believe that you have to have the right tool for the right job, and it's companies like yours that bring. You don't just arrive with a hammer; you have a tool chest, and you're pulling all these things together and using the right tool for the right thing and building out complete solutions. That's not what my employer does. It's a platform, and we kind of are very focused on this, sub 10 cents category. And that tag is amazing, but it's not going to do everything. It's not going to do all the things that you've described. So I think it's really important that we have this. And actually, I know I'm starting to talk about me, so I'll try and keep it short, but we've actually decided to build a database, to resurrect a database that later on in this conversation, you're going to bring up the subject of the book that brought us together. I wrote the book on Beacon Technologies. You read it, and then we started dining and collaborating together. When that Beacon Technologies book was written, I was conscious it was going to be out of date immediately. So I'm like, well, what can we do to future-proof it? And so I started with a really clunky database, and then I was the advisor for another company, and they took it on and scaled it, and then they kind of lost interest in it. So we've decided at Wiliot to resurrect this the Mr. Beacon directory of Bluetooth Beacon Technologies, ambient IoT technologies, and the Internet of Expensive Things, Bluetooth technology. So hopefully in the next, by the end of the year, you'll be able to come to the basics part of our website and just do a search and find battery-powered devices, all sorts of things. So I'm hoping that you're going to do me a favor and fill in the details of all of your products so that when people come to search, they'll find it. And again, it's about building the category and sharing the information. So that's coming soon to a website near you. Let's get back to your business, Jerry. And what are the things that you think we need to do to scale the healthcare applications? Because it seems to me like you're doing all the right things. What are the challenges? Is it that things are made on a hospital by hospital basis? Are you seeing real scale across networks of hospitals, or what are the biggest challenges, and what do you think needs to happen to have this market really scale?
First of all, dealing with hospitals, that's not an easy job, because they have very long from contact to contract sales cycles. It can easily take 12 to 18 months. This being said, we also had hospitals where we closed the deal in less than a week. Yeah. But I think it's our duty. And when I say our duty, it's not only my, but it's the duty of the community to really educate the market much more about the savings that can be made. Because too often they think it's only a gimmick. Eh? And yeah. We have done several ROE studies. We actually did a study last week with a hospital where these were their figures, where it was being shown internally that after 3 years of using our solution, their savings were over 500K after deducting our costs, so the net profit being made. So I think that's something that the community really has to focus on, to show guys there are real savings to be made here. It's not blah, blah, blah. So that's a first challenge. The second thing is that when I look at the vendors, there has to come far more interoperability. Okay? Mm-hmm. Bluetooth is a standard. It's amazing that some of the major vendors, they still think that iBeacon and Eddystone are the right tools or technologies for IoT. Okay? These were developed for something completely else, for advertising purposes. Totally not suited for IoT purposes. But then you have these major vendors, they only support that in the access point and not standard Bluetooth technology. And for me, that's something, guys, please follow what the market is asking. So that's also something that needs to happen. And again, something that we as a community have really to push towards these vendors to convince them that they should start supporting this standard Bluetooth technology.
So I'm a bit confused. So you're saying standardize on Bluetooth, but it's not about iBeacon, which was all about kind of location, not asset tracking. And you're saying Eddystone isn't the answer either. What is the, so yes, Bluetooth, I get that. What else should beacon manufacturers be doing to make life easier?
Well, you have large manufacturers. I'm not going to put names forward here because that's not so important. Mm-hmm. But their access points only support standard iBeacon and Eddystone format.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, if you then put a tag on an asset which broadcasts iBeacon, you can perfectly follow it throughout the hospital.
Yeah.
The tech has other sensor information, forget it, yeah?
Yeah.
And maybe you can solve it by using the minor and the major, but these protocols are never used for these kind of things.
Yes, we have that's true.
We have something like, guys, there is a Bluetooth standard there where you have the advertising part of a message that you can encrypt, where you can put a lot of sensor data in. Please start supporting that.
Yeah. So basically a bit more flexibility and openness, because the reality is very few. So everyone supports iBeacon, but very few people have just iBeacon. They have iBeacon as part of a cocktail of data that's sent by their tags or their beacons. They have more sensing information. iBeacon's not encrypted, so they probably want some encryption. And so you just need a bit more flexibility. And so it sounds like your ask is for the infrastructure owners, and I think it's in their interest to do that, to just be a bit more flexible about the formats that they enable through, because they have a lot to gain by managing all these devices. That's good. That's good feedback. I'm wondering if maybe there's some work that the Bluetooth SIG could do to help that, because, you know, the Bluetooth standard is kind of very simple in terms of what it specifies, but maybe there's some a bit more detail that could be added to embrace more modern requirements, or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just the infrastructure folks need to be more flexible.
Yeah, I think the infrastructure folks should follow what the market is asking.
Yeah,
and then the third challenge is that we are talking to a lot of pharmaceutical companies and medical device companies, etc. And you know the consignment challenges.
Yes, that
they only can start invoicing a hospital the moment a good has been consumed. Also, there is some standardization needed, because, as an example, and I'm just giving some names out of the blue. Suppose tomorrow I do a deal with Pfizer, and they want to deploy your solution across several hospitals to track consignment inventory. And then you have another company like Boston Scientific, and they say, no, we want to have another solution. This is never going to work. So we need a kind of a trusted party in the middle there, so that every hospital has a platform in place that everybody can use, and that they don't have to be afraid that the data is going to be shared with their competitors.
Yes.
Well, we are not going to solve that. I think there has to be a kind of a DNS agency or whatever you may call it, a central orchestration platform that takes care of these kind of things. And maybe that's also something that needs to come from the vendors that say, okay, you know, we are going to build this interoperability, so that tomorrow, if Pfizer wants to work with us and Medtronic with another one, that the same infrastructure can be used.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I was going to ask you, because we started this conversation about downstream applications, you know, the end consumer almost of the devices. But I think, you know, you see the real scale upstream at the companies that make the pharmaceuticals, the supplies, the auto injectors, all of those things. That's where you get into the billionth of things. But, you know, what we've seen is it's challenging for them because they're looking at a very fragmented set of different hospitals using different technologies. And so that fragmentation is holding up, joining it all up. I'm not sure whether that's something that you see. It seems like it probably is.
I spoke the other day to a company. They are shipping over 100 million packages a year. Yeah, to hospitals. And they say, yeah, if there was a kind of a standard, we would immediately put on everything we ship a Bluetooth sticker, or it can be Williot, whatever, it doesn't matter. But they say, no, we have to find solutions that if this this hospital supports it, okay, then only that company we're going to send packages that has stickers. So something needs to happen there, yeah? And this is all going to happen if the big boys sit together and say, okay, let's create a standard for interoperability that everybody can adapt. And that's going to be then I think we are going to enter mass volumes.
Yeah, I'm optimistic about that. We're starting to see really significant volumes, and you know, this the kind of thing that you're describing only happens when the business is big enough to warrant the giants actually taking the time out to do it. And based on what we're seeing on our pipeline, then we're starting to get to to that scale. So I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I believe the next 3 years will be really interesting. We'll start scaling to billions of Bluetooth tags, tens, maybe even hundreds of billions of Bluetooth tags. And at that point, then I think it will just be self-interest to start to build out more of the interoperability that you're describing. You touched on the consignment use case, and I didn't do my interviewer's job. I should have stopped you and asked you to explain that, because I think it's actually a really powerful one. But can you explain what the consignment use case is? Because I think it's one that can scale, and it's one that I think we want people to focus on, because there's a really good ROI. But what is it?
It's a fantastic use case, and I was really amazed when we are doing one together with a very large pharmaceutical or medical device company. I'm not allowed to mention names, but I was really amazed when they gave me the figures about the loss they are making per year. So in a nutshell, what's consignment? Suppose you're a supplier of, let's say, pacemakers, just to give an example, yeah? But it can also be other products that are more mass volume products. But let's take as an example the pacemakers. Eh? As the manufacturer, we put it in a hospital, and it's the inventory. It can only be invoiced by the manufacturer the moment the hospital has consumed the device, so that it has been used as an implant for a patient. And that's where the problem starts, because hospitals forget to report. Sometimes they take older equipment that's already expired, they take the newer equipment instead of the older equipment that's soon going to be expired. Then the sales representatives of the pacemaker company, they have to visit every hospital now and then to check the inventory to see if everything has been invoiced correctly, if they need to resupply the stock, etc. You will ask, of course, but Jerry, with all the modern tools like SAP and name it, this is all fully automated. Believe it or not, some hospitals are still faxing. I have one of my sons is working at Blyot. He never saw a fax, so just amazing. So when by putting, for instance, let's say you have an area, a storage area in a hospital where you have all these pacemakers, by putting a Bluetooth tag on it, you can know exactly what's there. The moment the package is being opened, you can send another notification message that the good is being consumed. And the moment it's no longer visible because it's no longer pinging, then you can send a notification, okay, now you can invoice the item. And it gives these big manufacturers real-time visibility about what's everywhere. And it also reduces waste because then, now they can say to the hospital, hey, wait a moment, you're consuming a newer product, but you have another product on the shelf that's soon to be expired. Please take that one first. And we are doing a test with one big medical device company, as I just said. They are losing tens of millions of euros only in Europe, only for a very specific product. And we are not going to build a 100% solution that I will solve the problem completely. But I think that probably 80 to 90% of these costs can be avoided by implementing this kind of Bluetooth consignment stock technology.
I agree. I think it's an amazing use case, and there's so much ROI there. It's faster invoicing. So you can really, if you're a CFO, you can look at getting that real-time trigger of consumption. You can do all sorts of financial engineering around it, whether you... especially if you're a wholesaler or an OEM, a manufacturer of equipment. And I think you reduce shrink. And as you say, you can make sure there's a FIFO and you get the kind of analytics, the demand signals. So you can pre-kit the replenishment, less visits with smaller vehicles with smaller amounts of inventory to do the replenishment. So I think you've really hit that particular nail on the head, and it's a great one to focus on.
I have to tell you a funny story. So when I was looking at the figures, there was also a line there which was lost trunk inventory. So, and I was asking, what's this meaning, lost trunk inventory? That's really inventory in the trunk of the sales reps that they don't know when it is and when it's lost.
Yeah.
So they have zero visibility. The moment it leaves their distribution centers, they have zero visibility about what's happening.
Well, that visibility in vehicles, I think, is a really hot use case. We're seeing it and I didn't expect it to happen so quickly, but putting Bluetooth readers in refrigerated containers, delivery vehicles, and seeing what goes in. Did it go into the right vehicle? Is it being kept at the right temperature if it's temperature sensitive? And when did it leave that? And just looking at the utilization, is the vehicle full? Is it empty? Those are all things. We did a demonstration at grocery shop. We had an Uber driver, and we used the Uber driver's phone, and we put half a dozen tags in their vehicle, and we had a little GoPro camera, and they were driving around Las Vegas. And so you could see the heat map in the car. It was amazing. The difference in temperature from the front of the car to the back of the car. And there was just something about seeing this vehicle moving around and knowing what was in it. I think it's, you know, in a few years' time, people were like, I can't believe we were doing this blindfolded. We were running this supply chain with the lights out. And so I think that's a use case that will be powerful for lots of different vendors with lots of different technologies. But tracking things in transit, it used to be about, where is the delivery vehicle? You know, we don't know where our delivery vehicles are. That was like step one. Now it's about what's in the delivery vehicle. And back to consignment, what's in the case that's used to the cupboard or the case, the filing cabinet that's used for that consignment process. So. Very good. So, Jerry, it's been great to get this update. Is there anything else that you want to cover before we sign off? But I think we've touched on some really good use cases, got an update on your new Beacon products. Any last words?
Yeah, a question for you. What do you think about Hubble networks?
I have not heard of them. No, I'm ignorant on it. What tell us about them.
It's a U.S. company. They just raised $20 million. And they claim to have soon Bluetooth satellites that can receive Bluetooth signals in space.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe it's an idea to invite them also on your podcast.
I'm going to check it out. It sounds amazing. I can't imagine how it works, but I'm sure they'd love to tell us. So I appreciate the I appreciate it. And yeah, if anyone knows of anyone that we should get on the podcast, then I'm really open to ideas, but that's a great suggestion. So, Jerry, obviously you've been on the podcast before. You chose your three songs. People can go back to, I think it was like February 2022 to see what they are. So I was, you know, one of my favorite movies is In Bruges, and you went to college in Bruges. I don't think you were in the movie, but what was that like? What were your college days like there? Was it a great place to study? Did you study?
Yeah, I tried to study. Yeah, it was a great place to study because it's a fantastic city. Eh? The only problem is you have a lot of bars. So after school, sometimes instead of going to the study room, we entered with a couple of friends in bars to hunt for the pretty ladies. And at a certain moment, I met my wife.
Oh, wonderful.
I met her when we were 18 and we were still together. So it was a good hunting season in Bruges.
I can't think of a more beautiful place to find your feet. What did you study in college?
Actually, I did first Latin Greece. Don't ask me any Latin words because it's too long ago. But it's a good basis to learn other languages and to think a bit logical, as I would say.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I did industrial engineering. At least I started, because then something happened which was called the internet. And I started one of the first internet providers in Belgium. And my parents did like that because they were asking, what are you now doing? Instead of continuing your studies, you're crazy. But probably it was one of the best decisions I made. So I was a school dropout.
Interesting. So did you finish your college, or between your meeting your wife and starting the internet startup, then you joined that legion of Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, all that other?
Yeah, I was 22 when I started my first company. It was really the early days of internet. So to give you an idea, we had the first internet line to May East, which was then one of the hearts of the internet based in the US. And we had 164K line, which came via Finland, via Telecom Finland.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had our analog modems where people had to dial in. It's amazing how this changed.
I remember it well. It's hard to imagine a world without the internet, and it's hard to imagine stepping into that world via a squeaky line that was so slow and text-based browsers and all that sort of thing. So when did you know that you were going to be a serial entrepreneur? Was that the moment, or were you... Personally, I was selling Cadbury's cream eggs to my classmates when I was in early high school. I think that was the tell for me. But what about you? When did you know you were going to be an entrepreneur?
Oh, I think it was purely by accident. You saw an opportunity. You thought you had the solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you like to build a solution. So that's how you start a business. And after a while, you get bored because, yeah, it's working. That is the challenge. And then you were looking for something new. Then the next thing I think I did was there was something coming like voice calling via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So we built on a company that did one of the first internet telephony applications. But also there, once it was working, for me, the fun was gone. So up to the next company or startup.
So you like spotting trends and creating new things, it seems. Your modus operandi.
Yes. One of the companies I started, the name actually was New Things.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, you've been one of the early pioneers in ambient IoT. So hopefully we can harness that approach and that success to build this category that we all work in. Very good, Jerry. Well, thanks very much for being on the podcast for a second time. It's been great to have you here.
Very happy to be back here, Steve. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And as probably you remember very well, but I entered this space after I read one of your books.
I had actually forgotten so there's a few people that read, actually a decent number of people that read the Beacon Technologies, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Beacon System, but that always warms my heart, and it's the most sincere compliment that anyone can give. We all like to be listened to, and the only thing better than that is being read. So thanks, Jerry. I really appreciate it. So that was my conversation with Jerry. He's a great guy to work with, a great guy to have a meal with as well. And I think there's a lot to learn there. I want to thank you for sticking with us through to the end of the conversation. That makes you special. In my book, we live in a world where everyone's like just snacking on things and listening for a few seconds. So you have an attention span, or maybe you just fell asleep and you woke up at the end. But either way, we're glad that you are with us. I invite you to join us again next week. I'm hoping to have a guest from IBM on, who are doing some really amazing stuff in the Internet of Things, ambient IoT world. As well as my thanks to you, I want to thank Brooke Ellsworth, who does the social media and helps me with some of the production. And then Aaron Hammack, who does all of the editing and writes the show notes and so forth. So until next time, stay safe and be happy. And our hearts go out to everybody that's wrapped up in this conflict in Israel. It's heartbreaking. And we wish everybody well. Thank you.